Hey, this is your host Brian Wayne here, and I'm here to let you know, in case you did not know already, that the Cheers to Comics podcast has since evolved. And if you're looking for a new shiny place to get your comic books from, then you need to head on over to shopcheerstocomics.com. It's like cheerstocomics.com, only with a shop in front of it. Shopcheerstocomics.com, and if you use code PODCAST at checkout, you're going to save yourself 10%, and I'm constantly adding new inventory, hot spec books, everything, any type of book under the sun. As it comes under my radar and it gets added into the inventory, I make it available to you. So remember, head on over to shopcheerstocomics.com and use code PODCAST at checkout and save yourself 10%. Oh, it's pre-roll time. You know the Cheers to Comics podcast is proudly brought to you by Inked Marketing Solutions, your source, your solution. That's why they're called Inked Marketing Solutions. Your solutions to all things crowdfunding, even beyond comics. But, you know, I'm going to focus on the comics on account of what I am and all. I got to tell you about the Inked Marketing crowdfunded comic for this here episode. It's going to be the Terror Trilogy funding on Kickstarter right now. It's a horror graphic novel. It's three incredibly creepy sounding stories all in one beautifully bound book. So we've got the Muffin Man number one, Solo 88 number one, and Thirst number one. And you know, there's even a brand new story as well that the boys from Limitless Comics is putting out, and that's a Wild Oni. Or you could, you know, you can grab everything, grab all of that stuff all on this Kickstarter. But the Muffin Man and the Solo 88 and Thirst, all in one beautifully bound graphic novel of terror, the Terror Trilogy. So, yeah, head on over to Kickstarter now and support the boys of Limitless Comics. It might not just be all boys, but I'm looking at the picture here. Those are all boys there. yeah, man, head on over. Check it out, Kickstarter. And that's going to be inked.pub/Terror Trilogy. Once again, that's inked.pub/Terror Trilogy. You're gonna want some of this, people. Limitless bringing it real hard. Age of Radio. Welcome back to the Cheers to Comics podcast. I'm your host, Brian Wayne, and this is episode 370. The 370th episode of the Cheers to Comics podcast will be a creator corner, and the creators that I cornered on this episode, well, they're behind the book called Space Oddities. They go by the names of John Williams and Ben Robinson. You're going to love them, people. I fell in love with them. I dig the book that we're going to be talking all about. I can't wait to dive into this conversation. I already have. I can't wait for you to dive into this conversation. hey, post-editing, am I right? But no, I had a lot of fucking fun. A lot of fun talking to these guys, and yeah, you'll find out how stoked I am about Space Oddities here in just a moment. But first, I am not obligated to. But I feel it mighty necessary to tell you about my newest affiliate, and that's going to be 307nerdsforever.com. If you're looking for a fancy new place to get your comic books at an incredibly reasonable price, you know, eBay's marking shit up the way they do. You want a trusted seller that's going to ship you your books carefully. You know, not no newbies, people. Not no newbies. Hit up 307nerdsforever.com. That's the number four. Just like the number 307. 307nerdsforever.com. And while you're checking out their amazing stock and inventory, make sure you use code CHEERS at checkout. I used checkout twice there. I fucked that up. use code CHEERS at checkout and save yourself an additional 10% off already amazingly priced books. So I urge you, this is not a suggestion. This is, it's not quite a command either, but if it's about as close to a command as it gets without being a command. Hit up 307nerdsforever.com, your next new place to get amazing comic books. And with no further ado, you're fixin' to learn all about Space Oddities. If you missed the first issue on Kickstarter, here are the creators behind the book, John Williams and Ben Robinson. All right. What's up, fellas? How are ya?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well.
Ah, man, I'm awesome. And I say it every time. I'm even better knowing that I'm getting ready to talk comics. There's something really exciting here that we're fixing to talk about. But I'm excited for you guys to be able to take the time to do this. Because when I see a cool book come in, I'm like, these guys are getting ready to be really important. I got to make sure I use their time wisely. And I know, as we record this right now, happy birthday, Ben.
So you've
got shit to do, man. You've got shit to do. But nevertheless, I'm grateful for both of your guys' times. Before we get too far into Space Oddities, Ben, you are the writer or
co-writer. So we kind of co-writer. You know, this is an idea we came up with together, going a little over 15 years ago now, and okay. We sat on it for a long time. It was like one of those things like, hey, we should do this. And so I kind of, you know, we've kind of co-write and co-create it together as a collaborative process, and then John does all the hard work.
You guys 15 years you guys have been working on this. You guys, so that's a hell of a relationship to have. I've attempted to write a comic with somebody and our relationship ended in about 9 months. Like it's not an easy thing to do. Kudos to that, first of all. For you guys to come together and putting something like this together, the Space Oddities, this is something special here, you know? My listeners might say, oh, you say that all the time. Well, that's because I only bring on special fucking books. I'm not going to bring on some mediocre shit. This is not mediocre shit by any means. So you guys have this on Kickstarter right now, and we are going to get into Space Oddities, no doubt. But I did not know that you guys have known each other this long. I didn't know this was a work in progress for this long. So that opens this up even more for me. So now I have to know usually I'll do an origin story individually, but I got to know the origin story of you two. I mean, because I would like to, 15 years, your origin story in comics and knowing each other can't be that far apart, really.
I think what made the last 15 years so possible is that we probably knew each other for a decade before that. We've been buddies since we were little kids.
Jeez.
You know, so we were always just, can we cuss on this show?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure. You know, we were running around, fucking around in the neighborhood with toy guns and shit. It's ever since we were little tykes in elementary school. So, it made sense that later on in life that we'd start creating stuff for fun. But, you know, back then we were just out of high school and we were just, you know, wandering the earth. So, you know, we're like, hey, this would make a good idea for a cartoon proposal, because I was going to school for animation.
Okay.
Or I was about to. And we were all into Adult Swim at the time. You know, this was back when like C-Lab and Aqua Teen Hunger Force, you know, like the real genesis of the original content.
Exactly, the golden age. That's what I was going to say. Exactly, yes. So animate, I mean, that would explain a lot when I look at this art here. I mean, as an animator, you... I mean, you got to take it to another level, but as an artist or an illustrator in a comic book, you have to be able to show the ability of motion in a single panel. Like that's the thing I admire most about comics over all forms of entertainment. All everything is because you can get the most out of the least.
in a comic book. And I say that term the least very, very loosely because it takes a lot of fucking work. But as far as, you know, 20 pages and, you know, 7 panels on a page, that's not much considering, you know, how many frames it is in a, you know, film and all of that other shit, you know, all the editing and splicing. There's so much more mass to it. So be able to get so much of a story out of just so little volume, it says a lot. And for both the writer as well, obviously, because I mean, you get these little speech balloons and you get like a couple of, you know, a few words essentially, unless you're Grant Morrison and you're like, fuck it, I'll just do the whole page. Exactly. And Liam Sharp could just draw around the talk bubbles and still shine. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's with this here, the Space Oddities, I immediately got like it felt like I was watching this book, not reading it. If that makes sense, you know, like I was talking with Ben beforehand. I was like, I left the house after I had just got done reading this and I came home real quick and the family was watching Futurama. And I was like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, and I'm not saying this is Futurama, but it's, you know, it's the setting and everything, you know, I felt like I was already watching it, but I was just reading something similar. So I just want to say kudos to both of you for making me feel that reading a comic, because it's something that a lot of people don't always, you know, excel in, you know. And that doesn't mean they're making a bad comic. This is just another level of story, you know, just being able to do it is all. And this is awesome. So I went off on that huge tangent because you said animation, I got all excited because
personally, I appreciate that because we are the product of our influences, and I would be lying if I tried to say that Futurama didn't have like some seed in my brain somewhere because I love the shit out of that show. So it's right. You know, to have any sort of comparison without somebody saying like, hey, you're kind of ripping something off here, you know, then I'm perfectly fine with it. I love that show to death.
I mean, how could you not? I mean, like I said, me and Ben were just geeking out in the green room beforehand too. So I mean, you had this knack for art, obviously. I mean, you're getting ready to go to school and become an animator. Now, Ben, where does your talents for writing start to blossom? I mean, is it something that you've always kind of wanted to do? I mean, were you really good in creative storytelling class? I don't know what kind of classes are.
I wasn't good at any class.
Okay. All right.
I didn't really apply myself at school.
Gotcha.
no, I mean, John and I, us going back, like I said, we've been friends for over 2 decades now. And so, but we would always come up with like ideas and like my favorite part of the creative process is kind of that, you know, that brainstorming and generating and kind of coming up with, you know, fun, ridiculous, cool ideas, and then trying. And then it you know, it's really as of late that I've actually tried to apply myself to finishing that off into like something that is actually could be defined as a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I've always, you know, thought like that'd be a neat thing to do. That's something I want to do. But, you know, well, we did one like short book before this where we kind of did a similar thing called Travels in Time that was just, you know, it was kind of like the first foray into things. And that was about that was like a decade ago now, huh?
Yeah. It was 2012.
And wow, I moved out of state for a while. And then when I came back, we decided to kind of dust this old gem off and get serious about it. And so it's been kind of a recent development to actually try and finish anything, but I've been starting stuff my whole life.
Yeah. Like we probably, I don't know how many times we sat down, like even after Ben moved out of town, like he'd come back into town for some and be like, hey, let's have a couple drinks and, you know, talk Space Oddities. And we'd come up with this entire new line, you know, new direction for it to go. The character of Jet, the female character, changed multiple times over the years. And then we'd just leave it. But it wasn't until, you know, a couple of years ago where we're like, hey, like now's the right time. We've got these new ideas. Let's sit down. Let's hammer this out. And it became a serious thing.
Yeah. How did you know? I mean, after switching it up and changing it so many times, how did you guys decide, like, realize, okay, this is the one, like this is the one we need to run with?
Maybe we were old and we're like, uh-oh, we're running out of time.
that's a fair fucking answer. Who's to say the other stuff was even bad? I mean, who's to say
that? Yeah, I mean, and I think that's really what it is. Is like, I think we were in love with this property the entire time we were doing it. Like, I mean, we were totally into it. I think it was just, we finally got to an age where we're like, shit or get off the pot. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. You know, we've been talking about this for a long time and we wanted to, since I was back, we wanted to start working on another book because the other one, it was just kind of hard being remote and we each had our own things going on. But once we came back and we started a podcast, we're seeing each other a lot more. We were like, all right, let's finally do it. And so we kind of, you know, battened down and hammered out a narrative for the first arc and like who you know, sat down and brainstormed like, so who are these, you know, who are these characters? Let's coalesce the 15 years worth of brainstorming and thinking and musing that we've done on these people and really make them actual characters.
Yeah. Let's actually write this instead of just big picture it.
Well, I mean, as simple as that sounds, that's not easy to just do. You know, I mean, let's just do it. I mean, I know, fuck, everybody I know has ideas. Everybody yeah. I know. I mean, I don't know anybody without ideas. But I mean, as far as how many of them are doing it, I'm not, aside from my comic book friends that I've, met throughout the last few years. I mean, not many. Yeah, so just to sit down and like, okay, we've been talking about this. And even people that have been talking about the same thing for a long time, no matter what it is. I don't know how many times I'm like, just fucking do it. You know, I mean, just that's all you got to do. And if it doesn't work, then you fucking did it. And then, you know, you're not going to talk about the thing anymore. So I really do admire when somebody just fucking does it. And it's because it's not easy to do. It's a lot of times it takes a lot of fucking sacrifice, schedule wise, you know, being discipline. That's the big one. All of the discipline it takes. I mean, deadlines, man. Deadlines in comics. You don't mean
it's
you
true, know? Especially if it's your own deadlines that you're giving yourself. Mm-hmm. But there isn't an actual editor or like the, you know, there's no monetary attachment to it, you know, like there's right. no actual real consequences besides it's gonna suck if you don't get it out. I mean, unless you like fund a Kickstarter, then that's a great deadline, you know.
Oh yes,
people are depending on it. But
oh yes,
but I mean, if before we started doing anything like that, like that's why it took me so long to draw the first issue, because it's like, you know, we've got day jobs, we've got families, and it's like, you know, if nobody actually has a deadline for me, it's gonna take a while. And if Ben tries to give me a deadline, I'm going to laugh in his face.
Well, I mean, and that's the nice thing about this being the second issue too, is with the first issue, it's like, all right, you know, this thing is coming, but no one's really excited about it because no one's read it, you know, but then after you've gotten the first one out there, there are people that are interested in seeing the second one now. And so it kind of lights a fire under your ass.
Yes. Bit. Yes. The motivation of, you know, people wanting to see this, that means a lot. And I mean, as somebody that's, I didn't realize that this year was my first year ever backing Kickstarter. I feel like I've been backing Kickstarters forever because there's just a nonstop flow of stuff coming in. I didn't realize that March of this year was my first time backing a Kickstarter, and I just backed my 66th Kickstarter since March. Yeah, I know, it's crazy, but I mean, it's fuck, where was I going with this? I don't even remember where I was going with this. But as a fan, like a fan of Kickstarters, it's nice to see the people making the Kickstarters motivated by our excitement and our, you know, our hard-earned money, man. Because, you know, you can go to a shelf and spend $4 on a Marvel book. Or you can back a Kickstarter from somebody you don't know anything about, and then maybe it costs you $15. But in the end, I get so much more when I get that Kickstarter book in the mail. And I'm like, these motherfuckers completed this, they got my money, and I'm happy. Like, now they're talking about the next one. I mean, that's exciting as a fan, you know? So to see you guys excited to want to continue to push it out and be motivated by our excitement. That's you're on the right track. You really are. And as young creators, you know, in this industry, I know you've been working on this book for 15 years, but I mean, this is still your first child, right? I mean, have you guys done anything that we haven't mentioned yet?
No, just short stuff. Like Ben said, this Travels in Time book, it was part of an anthology of a bunch of local creators in Sacramento. And we had a book that we put together. And that's what a lot of my work in the past had been. You know, I'd done a couple issues of somebody else's comic book. And so I'd gotten a taste of doing a full book, but man, it's time consuming, but it feels so good to like hold a printed book in your hand. It's like a full size comic book.
It's all yours.
With the first issue, like this is our baby. We did it all except for the coloring. Our colorist Dan Olvera is brilliant. But like,
I'll give you that.
It's our baby. You know, there was nobody else telling me what to do and nobody else depending on me to execute their vision. You know, like Ben and I think we work really well together. I think I'm more the straightforward adventure narrative storyteller, and Ben's got just the best like wacky sensibilities. So, you know, when we get together, we you know, I've described this in the past as sort of like the why not method. You know, it's like, okay, so what do they do when they go here? And Ben's like, they put donuts on their fingers and roll down a grass hill and run into something. And we're like, okay, yeah, why not? You know, that's never happened, but you know, it could, because why not? You know, it's the theater of the absurd.
Well, and that's the type of stuff as a reader I'm into. Like the more eyebrow raising, where the fuck did that come from type of reaction you get out of me. I mean, the more likely it is I'm going to be picking up the next issue. You know, that's just how it is with me. I enjoy that. But at the same time, I also like the fact that, you know, you can have all that wackiness and it goes somewhere and still tell a straightforward story as well. Yeah. So like the balance of two writers, I really dig. Like one of my favorite... I think it's safe to say one of my favorite writing combos out there is the dudes from Metal Shark Bro, Bob France and Kevin Cuff. The way those two guys work together, like there's clearly they both have a little bit of each. Like they both have the capability of, you know, being the straight man and being the wacky what the fuck did that just come from type of, you know, whatever. But I mean when two writers play together like that, it just, it makes for, well, a Ringo winning book. They won a fucking Ringo for best humor this year, humor comic this year. So that's pretty amazing. But I mean, my point is I'm liking the whole writer combo relationship, and being that you're also not just a co-writer, but the illustrator as well. That's pretty amazing, John. That's not easy to do. I've always admired people that could do both, but that's fucking awesome. Not to take anything away from you by any means, Ben, because I mean, just writing a fucking comic, like I said,
you should definitely
relationships ended, dude. Relationships ended. Like, and I don't mean like, oh, well, no, that burnt, done. I mean, it's I admire it.
It is a bit to navigate. I mean, like with the second book, with Space Oddities number 2, we went in and we had our basic plot points. Like, here's the things that are going to happen. You know, here's the outline of the story. And then we each went off individually and wrote our own scripts.
Okay.
And then got together and kind of melded them together. And there was definitely, I don't know if tension's the right word, but there was definitely some emotion on both of our sides where one of us was like, I really like this thing. And the other, you have your like little darlings in there that you like, and then you kind of have to like, okay, does which one is better? And the nice thing is we get two scripts and we get to like pick all the best shit out of both of them and end up with something that we're both really happy with. And like there was, I can't remember what it was, but there was something that I was really fighting John on for a bit. And he kept telling me, nope, this is the right thing to do. And we ended up going his way. And he was right. It was the right thing to do.
Oh, good. Wasn't sure where that was going.
It'll be mine next time.
Well, I mean, and
I dig it.
There's, it's very clear going into this thing. Like there are times where, I mean, to be honest, I was a little scared because it, you know, with it being your baby, you're very precious about it. So you know, especially after you've written it and you're like, okay, I know, I feel like I know these characters in a certain way. So if I write this, this is what they would do. And then somebody comes in, they're like, well, I also know them. And I feel like this is what they should do as well. So I think a lot of times it was easy to, you know, like there were parts where I come in and you know, like even with our Kickstarter video, same sort of thing happened where like Ben, I love my idea, but Ben comes in with something. It's just like, well, of course that's the clear way to go. Yeah. Mm. I don't think we ran into too many roadblocks, but yeah, like there's a little debating, but it's healthy. And you make sure that you get the right thing for the right reason when you do it that way, you know, like, especially if somebody's going to fight for something, then you're like, okay, then I should pay attention to this a bit more because, you know, this person obviously feels passionate about it for a reason. You know, if somebody's just like, whatever, fuck it, use yours, then okay, great.
Yeah, you got to be respectful, try not to be dismissive, and be willing to give some shit up. Like, it's not going to break your way. Also, another big tip for co-writing with people, spend about 15 years talking about the characters.
Yeah,
you'll pretty much be on the same page at that point.
I would imagine. So. I mean, that's a hell of a start. It's a hell of a start. Well, I mean, on that note, though, I mean, it's gotta be a lot more comfortable when you do have those like potentially tense conversations, and someone's like, "I don't know," because it's at the same time like you've known this guy forever. What's he gonna do? Stop being your fucking friend? You know, like I don't know.
Some people might, but thankfully we've got some strong ground here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so that helps. I mean, there's not, I can't see any resentment, you know, between a relationship like your guys's, you know, like, I wish I would have done it this way or brought it up this way, but I was afraid, you know, maybe we wouldn't have kept working if I would have. No, I feel like if you guys had an idea, you're going to fucking bring it up, you know? And I think that's I mean, having a 15-year relationship going into it, yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a very serious, a serious head start for sure. But I mean, I admire someone, you know, jumping into this kind of later. I really do. You know, I mean, I'm somebody that found my way later in life as well, and you know, I'm not saying you guys are just finding your way, but finding the way into comics later, you know, that's fucking cool. I don't know. I just find it. I don't know, man. There's something special to that, you know, because there's the people, they're just the naturals. They knew right off the bat as a kid, you know, they're making comics in the playground at 7 years old with crayons and shit. And
to be honest, like that was always my dream ever since I was a little kid. But
yeah,
I had kind of a self-motivation problem, and you know, I went to school for animation. I went to school and got my degree and came back home with a whiskey habit. Mm-hmm. That took some out of me for a while. So I wasted a good bit of time before I rediscovered my passion. And you know, it's, you know, there are some people who can just, you know, take a year or two and just destroy it and improve and go talk to all the editors in the world. Then they break in, they're at DC and Marvel. But for me, like at a certain point, it was like, okay, that's not the thing that's happening. And it's tough to make a living in indie comics. So I've got the day job and it's like, let's create something ourselves. Like, you know, let's turn this into something that we control, that we can, you know, that we enjoy doing and that we can reap the benefits from as well, you know, one day. But
the day's not far away, gentlemen. I mean, look at this Kickstarter right here. It's I mean, there's money to be made there. I'm excited for it. I am. I mean, Ben, I'm going to ask you like a super silly, simple question now on that same note. Like, did you want to be a comic book writer when you grew up? Like, I mean, what was your thing?
I mean, I always enjoyed comics. Like, I mean, I'm not to the degree that John did.
Gotcha.
You know, he was definitely the resident comic geek.
Gotcha. Well, right. I mean, see, that's also really cool to me, like on a different level. I mean, that you could, you know, not be as into it, but at the same time, I mean, here you are. I mean, you did this, like you're clearly fucking into it, and you didn't have it in your blood your entire life, you know, or see it.
And I've always, like I said, I've always loved comics, and I've always enjoyed reading them. But I, you know, I like creating things and you know, and making stuff, and I got off that for a while just because, you know, life happens and you're, you know, like when I was a kid, we used to make, you know, we used to make like videos and shit all the time, and just, you know, come up with stories and, you know, but mostly just for fun.
Right.
And, you know, I got into, you know, I start to, you know, have kids, get old, and it just kind of eats up all of your free time. And if you don't make time for it, which is hard sometimes, you know, thankfully I've got a, you know, very understanding wife that's willing to let me sit in here and talk on somebody else's podcast about the comic book I make on my birthday.
That's another cheat code, man. Having that,
to go to dinner. So, yeah. I've got a wonderful wife and good kids and whatnot. So, you know, that I can tactfully neglect, and I'm confident they'll still come out of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, having that in your life is really an important cheat code. It is. It helps. I mean, just being a single guy and then having to, you know, I mean, it's tough. I mean, but having kids and having that spouse at the same time that's willing to support on top of it all, you know, not going, why the fuck aren't you cooking dinner for your kids? And you're talking into your tin can there on the internet. And, you know, I mean, having all of that, it does help tremendously. So, I mean, you guys are bringing up really awesome points. I mean, these are very inspirational things that I know a lot of creators out there looking for answers to. I mean, it's, you know, how the fuck do I do this? I feel stuck in this situation. I'm this age, blah, blah, blah. I mean, everybody, you guys have all of the reasons not to do it, but you did it. And you did it twice, because this is issue two here. This isn't your first time, you know? So that's another thing that I find badass. And this just fulfilled too, like not what earlier this year. So it didn't take you long to put this out.
I'm glad that's what you think, because man, it feels like it's taken me entirely too long to get this going. I feel like an asshole.
I wasn't there for the first campaign, but I mean, the fact that, you know, you got the first one fulfilled towards the beginning of the year, and you've got the second campaign going within the same year. I mean, that's not hard, or that's not easy to do at all. Kickstarters alone aren't easy to do. One a year, I mean, that'll drive a man insane.
Yeah,
it will.
They are a lot. And like our goal was, I mean, ideally it'd be nice to get it out sooner, but our like, you know, we don't want to go past this goal was to, you know, we launched the last Kickstarter, I think on November 1st of last year. And so we're like, all right, we want to launch the second one no later than, you know, a year after that. We want to make sure that it's at least a yearly thing, so things keep rolling.
Gotcha.
Because our goal was April then, and it's April now again. You know, and we hit the goal last time, you know, without issue. And I think we're gonna do that, if you know, hopefully a little early if we can. But we'll make sure, you know, make sure we set. We made sure we set a, you know, a fulfillment goal that was doable. Because there's nothing worse than, you know, that date coming and going, and you know, 2 months later you're still waiting for that thing you backed on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to name names by any means, but there's still Kickstarters from my first couple that I've backed that I'm still waiting for. Now, granted, like I said, I thought I'd been backing Kickstarters for years. Turns out that's only still a few months ago, but 60 some Kickstarters later, you know, it's like, fuck, when's this thing going to show up? But, the key to that is just keep backing more Kickstarters, and then you got all types of shit coming in the meantime.
But, you won't remember what came when.
Exactly. I, as a matter of fact, there was some stuff I was going through looking at earlier today. I was like, oh shit, I forgot about that one.
Yeah,
that'll be a fun surprise.
Yeah, you get a surprise in the mail and be like, oh, I totally forgot that I gave somebody money for this.
Right. But this isn't going to be one of those, because you guys deliver in a very timely manner, it seems. How far along is issue two at this point, production-wise?
Well, not as far along as I'd like it to be, but no. It's,
is it ever?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's hard to put an exact thing on, because I'm so scatterbrained. I jump around a lot. So some pages are still in layouts. Some are in pencils. Some are already inked. Okay. Some are colored. You know, it's I mean, we got some sample pages colored for the campaign itself. We still had some leftover funds from the first ones. We just funneled it right back in so we could get some art going for this campaign. We got a variant cover as well for this second issue, but
nice.
I don't know. It is in production.
That's
semi-complete. I don't know.
It's those on, are all valid words.
Done by April.
Yes. Yeah. It is on track.
It is on track. Yeah.
Those are all the important things people need to hear. They don't need to hear that you're on page 17 of 42 or it may be. No, they just want to make sure that it's fucking being worked on. You know, and it's going to show up on time, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's done now or done in March and it gets to us by April, who gives a shit? You know, as long as I'm fucking here.
Yeah, I may have a really awful January for all we know, but I'm hoping to have an only semi-awful November and December. and then once the funds come in, it's all to the colorist.
That's awesome, man. No, I mean, I have all of the faith. I do. I mean, you guys delivered on your first one. What's to make us believe you're not going to deliver the second time around? You know, this is... let's really get more into this book in itself now and the campaign. We got a little taste of your guys' origin stories, and I'm sure you guys have a billion fucking awesome stories to tell within, you know, 15 years about coming up through this book and all of that. But this book itself, for those that may not know, the basic premise. I mean, who wants to take it here?
Oh no, the indecision. I'll give the elevator pitch who's seen the campaign has seen all around. Like, this is basically the love child of our love of two franchises, mainly one being Indiana Jones for its high adventure, and then the other one being Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for its wacky space comedy. You know, like we both are huge fans of those two properties. Like I love adventure stories to death, and Hitchhiker's Guide tickles me like nothing else. And Ben was the one who got me into Hitchhiker's Guide back in the day. Awesome. So, you know, it's very much, you know, a part of Ben, especially like that and Monty Python, you know, just like the British sensibility is what brings, you know, that type of storytelling out for him. And for me, you know, like I said, man, like Indiana Jones, as far as adventure stories go, is it. Like, that's the template for me. You know, some people aren't excited for this fifth one coming out, but I can't wait. I don't care if it sucks. I will be there opening night.
Is it really? I didn't even know that was really a thing. I thought it was just a meme. Oh, I'm done.
It's finally shooting. Like, it is actually shooting. I was just looking at some set photos earlier today. It's happening.
Damn, son of a with Harrison Ford and everything, huh?
Harrison Ford, James Mangold stepped in to direct this time. So it's not Spielberg, but I mean, James Mangold, you know, he did Ford versus Ferrari and Logan and Copland back in the day. Like, I've got a lot of faith in the guy. He's a talented filmmaker.
Right on, man.
Sorry, that has nothing to do with space oddities. But.
No, but I mean, we're talking influences here, you know, and. I mean, as somebody that read the first issue, you know, you guys were cool enough to send me the first issue, and it's oversized, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's another thing. I mean, is the second one gonna be oversized as well, or
by a couple pages?
By a couple pages, I like that. I like that.
If your comic book is still standard, you know, like either 20 for DC or 22 pages, you know, for others. This one's going to be probably about 28 pages.
Nice. Right on.
Yeah. So
right
it's not a small book. I don't want to give anybody just a shitty little taste that they're going to forget about by the time the next campaign rolls around.
Yeah. The nice thing about, you know, self-publishing and the indie thing is that, you know, you've got a story you want to tell for each chapter. Cause this is designed, or it's written to be a 6-issue arc.
Okay.
So we've got like our first arc plotted out, and we've got, you know, we think it's going to be about 6 issues, and we've got it broken up into parts. And, you know, there's nothing saying that each one needs to be 20 pages or 22 pages. It can be, you know, it's going to be the length it needs to be to tell the story we want to tell. And the first one that happened to be 40, which was a lot. And, you know, because I had to kind of set all the characters up and kind of get into, you know, it's the intro to the story, essentially, you know, it's the, it's the
beginning. An oversized intro issue is becoming more and more common. I mean, not even throughout the big two, you know, just overall in storytelling. And I'm fine with it. I'm 100% fine with it. You know, I like a good oversized issue, and then it'll sure give me your, you know, 20 some page count after that. I understand the necessity of having to put a bunch of stuff in the first issue, because if you don't say what you want to say initially, I mean, you don't know for sure that someone's going to go through and pick up the rest of what you were trying to introduce, you know?
You don't want to tell an incomplete story. I mean, like, the first issue kind of resolves itself to a degree. I mean, it leaves stuff hanging, obviously, because it's
well, sure,
of a six arc, but in and of itself, it tells us a complete story to a, you know, of a small story as part of a bigger story.
Right.
And I think, you know, having the flexibility to be able to kind of make it whatever size and it needs to be to tell the story is super valuable. And it's like, it's one of the things I appreciate about some of the streaming service shows and shit that they got now, like The Mandalorian, when it came out last year, every single episode was a different length. And it's like, all right, that's cool. You got a story you want to tell. Who gives a shit if it's 28 minutes or 44?
Yeah.
Whatever this, you know, don't cram that 44 minute story into, you know, 30 minutes.
Don't Game of Thrones us.
Yeah. And don't stretch something else. Yeah, exactly. Don't stretch something else out to try and make it fit. Like, it doesn't, we're not on a broadcast schedule, and we're not, and we aren't, you know, part of one of the big publishers where they need to have all the books be the same.
No, I like that's a great reference there. I like the fact, you know, it doesn't have to be a set amount for it, you know, to fit the formula.
Yeah.
You know, it could, if there's a story to be told, fucking tell it, you know. And that's what I'm loving about this creator owned world that we're living in right now, man, because I mean, they're taking over. A creator owned work in comics is taking over. There's no doubt about it. It's getting all of the spotlights. People blow right past DC at this. People don't even take DC continuity seriously right now. I mean, sure, there's a few, but I mean, overall, I mean, people are more worried about what the fuck is going on in House of Slaughter than they're in Batman right now. You know, it's the creator-owned world that we're living in, and it's I don't know, it's changing the formula of how we see things, and I'm so fucking for it.
Oh yeah,
you know,
they're the ones taking chances and telling different stories. It's not just, you know, your standard superhero cape story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And took some adjusting for me. That was a problem at first for me, because I was always a DC kid. Like, Superman's my favorite comic book character.
Yeah.
And you know, I knew people who worked at comic shops and stuff, you know, they were the typical cynical comic shop workers that are just like, I don't want to read superhero comics. It's the same thing over and over again, you know, like big villain, fight, status quo, you know, resumed, and you know, there's no consequences. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I still enjoy it, you know, it's great, but I've slowly, like, started to lean towards there, you know. Like, it sucks, because I, you know, every time there's a creator change, I try out the new Superman, and I'm just like, man, it's nope, can't do it. It's just, it's the same thing, you know. Like, I like what DC is doing with, like, the Black Label books, where they're actually allowing creators some more freedom and to take chances and to get a little, I mean, I don't need everything to be dark and gritty, but, you know, just not putting it in the same confines of, you know, a monthly superhero book.
Right. Or having to worry about what happened 6 months ago with Alfred or whatever, you know. Yeah.
Yep.
No, I like that. I do. But I mean, I see both sides of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm always going to be a forever, you know, I'm always going to read DC, and I'm always going to read Marvel. I mean, that's why I showed up to the party. But it's stuff like this. I mean, that's why I'm still here, because they're keeping it interesting. Sure, I'm still going to read my Iron Man, and yes, I may have read this story arc before, but, you know, done by someone else with some slight changes here or there. But, you know, whatever. It's still, it's, I'm just glad there's fucking Iron Man to read, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. But I've got this stuff. Like, this is the stuff I get really excited for, because there's no, like I said, there's no formula to follow now. Like, next week, kids, like, you don't know if there's even going to be a fucking next week. It could be a month from now. I mean, you don't know where it's going to jump to, what it's going to be, because I don't know. I mean,
and as far as creating it too, like, you don't have the baggage of 60 years of character, you know, like, you're ready. Yeah. Like, everyone knows who Superman is, and Superman's expected to do certain things. And so,
right.
Unless it, you know, and DC doesn't really want Superman doing much in the way of different things.
Largely. Right.
He has an image to uphold.
Well, yeah, you guys aren't getting fans, and I would put money on the fact you guys aren't getting fans, you know, screaming at you on Twitter going, that is not what the fuck Jet would do. You know,
I'm excited. I mean,
you don't have to worry about that right now.
That would be great.
Yeah, one day.
Next issue, maybe. Next issue, you have that. But the first issue, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I would love someone to be passionate enough to tell me that I'm wrong with my characters.
Yeah, it's like writing a song. You know, like, I can accidentally play my C chord wrong, but as far as that person knows who's listening to it, like, that's exactly what I meant to do. You don't get to tell me that I'm doing it wrong. Yeah, I mean, ironically, if DC let me write Superman, I would probably give them exactly what they want and exactly what I don't want.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's Superman. I'd have to write him exactly the way I've always read him.
So. Yeah. No. I dig it, man. I dig it. Well, I mean, I love, you know, the influences that you guys have put into this, all the work that you've put into this. I like I said, it's reading this. It's more like watching this, you know. Some of the stuff that I really I saw stand out. I don't know if, you know, you guys haven't mentioned them personally, but I get like a fun art. I definitely get the Indiana Jones and the Hitchhiker's Guide, but I also get like a twist of Archer in there a little bit. Like, I feel it in there, man. Like, I hear the voice in my head when, oh fuck, his name. I just had it. Shit. I just had it.
Dirk.
Yes. When Dirk talks, like, I hear that. That same type of tone. Like, but I don't know, man. That's, like I said, these are the things that I feel reading this, and these character influences, and it's like Archer meets Han Solo. Like, that's kind of how I feel Dirk kind of rolls in this.
I could totally see that. Yeah. He's, you know, he's all bravado, but you know, if you really analyzed him, like, scientifically, he would be kind of an incompetent boob who just happens to be like extremely lucky.
Yeah.
You know, And I dig what you say about feeling like you're watching it, because like that's something that even though, you know, nobody goes in saying like, this is going to be a movie, you know, like, I'm going to take this to Hollywood and make my dreams come true. But that is sort of how I look at this project altogether. Like, I see the first six issues as being our movie. You know, we have the cold open in the beginning, like a non sequitur adventure that gets you in, like an Indiana Jones or a James Bond. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, they meet the MacGuffin, basically. You know, there's something that they have to go search for. And, you know, that's going to be their adventure. It'll all culminate, you know, in the sixth issue with finding it or something else, learning lessons, you know, characters change, and then it's over. And then after that, you can choose whether or not you want to go on another adventure. So this is kind of, that's how I've always just seen it. It's our movie, or like the first season of our television show. So I like, if it has any sort of cinematic feel or any sort of, you know, like you're watching something, then I will fully accept that and be stoked about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, all of the characters in this. I mean, right off the bat, though, I don't think I've ever said quicker in a comic, they better not kill this motherfucker. Like, Dirk is automatically my dude. But then we get introduced to, I'm sorry, I'm still trying to remember their name. Oh, Jorge. Is it George or Jorge? Is it Jorge?
Jorge McSanchez.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man. Like, this, I love a good, just kind of fat background guy, like a fat sidekick. He's like my favorite. It's my favorite thing. A fat sidekick is my favorite thing. This guy right here, I mean, he's confident. That's the other thing. He's not like your classic derp, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's he's an engineer and
pilot. Yeah,
like he's very capable at what he does, but he's very he's a bit, you know, maybe a little naive and
exactly
and trusting, but he is a very bright man.
Yeah, he's yes. all heart.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think that's what I was looking for though. Like this character, like the heart, this character, it like a Chewbacca vibe, like ride or die, you know, like this is, he's always going to be there. Yeah. He looks like a big dumb fucking Wookiee, but he'll fix the goddamn thing and he'll pilot the thing to get you to the place that you want to be. And you're going to be alive. Like that's what I feel we're getting out of Jorge here. And I mean, just immediately, because I reading all these characters, being able to instantly just kind of gravitate towards, oh, that's what I love about them. All of them. Like I have that type of feeling with all of your main characters, guys, and being able to kind of relate them to other characters that I love, that I mean, whether you know you saw the influence or not, maybe I see it from the outside, maybe it was some subconscious between you guys. I mean, how could one not subconsciously be influenced by fucking Star Wars, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah. It's the space cousin of Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. So, I mean, it's, you guys really hit it on the head as far as this lovability with these characters, wanting to see them just in the next thing, you know, and as somebody that read the first issue, I'm excited to see where all six issues of this goes. This looks like a hell of a campaign. What's the 30-day campaign on this?
It's a 34-day campaign.
34.
So okay. I wanted it to end on Wednesday because it's New Comics Day.
Smart. I dig it. I dig it, guys. As far as, you know, stretch goals and things like that planned, anything to get people hyped up about?
We
know you guys have a variant cover, you said. That's fucking badass.
Yeah, we do. So as far as our regular rewards and stuff, we've got a variant cover done by a good friend of ours and talented artist, Chris Alvarez.
Okay.
It's a very different style from John's style, and I love it. I'm super stoked to have a variant cover. He really knocked it out of the park with that one.
I'm gonna see if I can get that original art on my wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
but it's yeah. So we've got a variant cover this time. You can get the first book with it as either an add-on, or there's one of the reward tiers comes with both books. We offer, you know, digital print. We've got this time for like our kind of like special reward perk things. We're doing like a series of trading cards.
Nice.
That we're going to include.
I'm gonna have like a fucking binder of Kickstarter trading cards. Like, yeah. I got my Marvel trading cards and shit. I'm gonna have a binder of Kickstarter trading cards here soon. Like, that seems to have been like the thing this year, and I'm not mad at it. I like it. Cool. I mean, trading cards are why I'm into comics to begin with. Like, that's a whole nother can of worms. But I dig it. I like seeing the type of nostalgic shit rise up. I don't know, maybe it's just the age group that we're in. I dig it, man. I love it.
New Space Oddities Pogs. Why didn't we think of that before?
Oh fuck, dude. You wouldn't. I have Pogs. Like I've got my. I'm not even lying. I wish that's the thing. You guys could be the next trendsetters. Bring back Pogs.
Pogs printed. Maybe that'll be our stretch goal. Space out of these Pogs.
How expensive could a Pog really be to print? Like, they're fucking cheap as shit. Like, if they got wet, they were done.
But we've also got like a metal bookmark, and then we've got a sketch cover. You can get drawn into the book.
Nice.
Original art is available. Some of the original inked pages, and then custom illustrations from both John and me. And we did that last time. And I was shocked anybody chose to get illustrations for me, but six people did. And
yeah,
it was a lot of fun to do because I don't draw.
I was going to say, like, this is new. It's you draw too, but you don't. And you took on, I like that, man. That's fun.
Yeah. I gave it a shot. Like for the first Kickstarter, John, I took one of John's Superman illustrations, and I tried my best to like freehand, like, you know, just like, you know, look at it as a reference and copy it. And it wasn't very good, but I put them both up there just to make sure people knew what they were getting. that this was a writer of this comic book trying to draw something for him. But it's like, I was looking at all the rewards, and it's like, okay, well, John's going to do sketch covers and John's going to do an illustration. It's like, all right, I need to contribute something to this the rewards out here. And it was actually a lot of fun.
I can imagine, man. I bet that was a lot of fun for it. I mean, as an illustrator, getting that, you know, it's going to be like, okay, well, now I'm working again. But as a writer, like, fuck, let's spill some paint, see what the fuck happens. You know, yeah, like, it was cool.
I think because people knew I was incompetent, they gave me crazy things to draw instead of, like, I think John had like a Hawkman and a few other things he had to draw.
Like, yeah, I had like Hot Girl, Mandalorian. I mean, basically your standards.
Yeah, characters. Yeah, I got one of the ones I got was Hedgehog eating French fries in space.
What the fuck?
Okay, sure. That was fun.
That's awesome. I mean, the imagination of your fans too. That's got to be fun to see. And just the random shit that they send you like that. I mean, I if somebody sent that to me, I'm like, I'm being fucking pranked right now. But no, you're a comic book creator. I mean, that's just part of the job. You're gonna get weird, crazy requests all the time.
So yeah, I've even thought of trying to do something like the creator Ryan Brown from God Hates Astronauts and Curse Words. Like, yeah, when he's doing convention sketches, somebody will say, like, draw Superman and Batman. And he will draw, like, Batman as a centaur with, like, Superman riding on him or something. That's, like, he takes creative license to just get super goofy and crazy. And I wish I was confident enough to do that. Like, I'm so terrified that somebody's going to hate my normal drawing of, you know, Superman and Batman that, like, I couldn't possibly, you know, dream of just, you know, throwing in a mixer and just seeing what pops out. You know, like, I'm terrified of that.
I don't know, man. It won't take you long. Just, you got to get to a couple of conventions with people sitting down handing you your book saying, fucking draw something on this for me, and then before you know it, yeah, you'll be doing all the crazy wild fucking Ryan Brown type of shit. I mean, I've had him on the podcast before. That dude's fucking imagination is insane, uber talented, but he's just a fucking regular guy, dude. You could do it too, man. You could do it too. I'm telling you. I mean, I see the you've got talent, dude. This is fucking cool. You know, I'm this is not your basic looking my first comic book. Like, that's not what this looks like at all. I gotta give this to you, man. You know, it's all too often I get sent something saying, hey, I'm doing my first comic book, and I'm like, I could tell. You know, this, I don't mean to be mean, but I mean, oftentimes there's clear tells, like, yeah, this is your first time doing this. I wouldn't say that for this at all, man. Like, you're able to, I mean, for both of you, obviously, but visually, like, that's where the real tell is. Like, it's really John. Easy to tell that out.
I said it's mostly John. I mean, let me be clear there. Like, I mean, one of the things I really admire about John and his art is his ability to visually tell a story. Like if you were to go through the book, I mean, I already know what's happening, so maybe I'm a bit biased, but I think if you were to remove all the word balloons from the book entirely, I feel like you'd still have a pretty good idea of what was going on, because his ability to you know, give you the narrative and the emotions of what's happening with, you know, with the art alone is really good.
I'm not going to disagree with you, man. Like, that's why I said this is not amateur looking at all. Like, that's why I said it feels like it's in motion as I scroll through here. And by no means am I saying, you know, it could do without the fucking script. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying this doesn't look like somebody's first goddamn comic. You know, and this is
across better with words.
Oh man. I'm excited for you guys. I wish I would have found this the first time around. I do. But the Space Odyssey, this is the next thing on my Kickstarter radar for sure.
And hopefully that's the case for some other people, you know, that just for whatever reason, you know, yeah, because we were a small time nothing operation doing our first Kickstarter, just trying to find our way through it. And, you know, as much as everybody gave us advice for setting up our list and building up hype ahead of time, like, you know, we didn't do it as well as some could, I suppose. You know, so I'm sure there's a lot of avenues and a lot of people we didn't hit. So this time around, you know, hopefully we'll hit them and they'll go, well, shit, oh, my good. I can start from the beginning and I can get a second one at the same time, you know, so double their pleasure, double their fun.
Well, you came to the right place because anybody that's ever read a comic book ever listens to this podcast. So
perfect.
They'll all know. No, I really do hope that the listeners heed my warning. I say you'd be fucking pissed if you miss this one. This is cool. It's not. We see the space stuff all the time, and most of the time I'm like, yeah, saw that. But like I said, there's something special to this all the way around. You know, I fell in love with the characters immediately. I said, Dirk, don't you fucking dare kill Dirk. I don't care if it's the last page of the sixth issue. No. He gets launched into space trying to rip a leather jacket. I don't know. Right off the bat, leather is something very special to me. It's very rare. I hate the fucking summertime because it's agonizing to wear leather. So that whole first intro and that first issue, I mean, immediately I was like, this shit right here, this is, they wrote it for me. They knew. For the listeners that don't know what I'm talking about, you're just going to have to go find out for yourself. Are you guys offering, I would imagine you guys are offering at least a digital form of getting issue one on this, the second campaign, right?
Yeah, no,
digital and print.
Digital
and
nice, print. Nice.
Both available. Yeah. The first Kickstarter went well enough. We were able to do a pretty sizable print run. So we've still got a few of those things banging around and, No, yep. Less of them than I thought we were going to have. Like we pretty good job getting rid of those things.
Yeah, we've got Sacramento has a really supportive community. Like there's a local shop up here, A1 Comics, that really had our back on this. You know, they do like live sales on Instagram, and like, you know, they were selling our book on there. And it was pretty wild, you know, that there, again, there's an audience that we couldn't reach on our own. So yeah. And you know, there's some other shops, Empire's Comics Vault and Ken's Comics and Collectibles, all in the greater Sacramento area that were carrying our book. So,
I bet that felt community. Fucking awesome. Having, yeah. I'm God damn it. I'm looking at the time here and I know you guys have shit to do. I am beyond excited for this book. I could probably go on like another 20 minutes on just how fucking awesome it was seeing your book on a shelf.
Ben, it's your birthday. Tell them you're going to be late for dinner. Yeah, let's talk all about us.
Wait for me as long as I say.
Yeah.
honestly, let's save some for next time, huh? You know, let's. How about? I don't know, man. This is something exciting for sure, and I really do urge the listeners to check this one out. Space Oddities. Like I said, if I wouldn't have you guys on the show if I didn't think it was worth shouting out. No doubt about it. I mean, I had to say a lot or know a lot before I got to your guys' email. I'm not going to lie. It was a little discouraging. And then this, you guys, Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, no, Dirk, thank you. I truly appreciate it. Hey, and you know what? Throwing a little spoiler out there. We're not going to kill Dirk off right away. We've got ideas. We've got ideas for that. Don't you worry. He's safe for now.
Oh man, I dig it. Oh, you keep me wanting more. guys, really, it has been. Oh, what's up?
I think the only thing we didn't mention was anything about the plot, but you can go on if you go on the campaign, it's there.
that was my biggest fear. We were going to nerd out so far, but at the same, I mean, does it really matter at this point? No, like, you're gonna be characters that you're gonna fucking fall in love with.
Yeah,
you know the influences that we all love that it's guided by, and I said it was good. So what the fuck else? What else do you need?
Yeah, I mean, as long as someone doesn't say like, I don't know, it might be good, and don't worry about the plot, then we're in bad shape. But you know.
Well, I mean, Indiana Jones says a lot right there, right? The Indiana Jones influence. They're looking for something. They're after something.
Mm-hmm.
Plot-wise, everything you need to know is in the Kickstarter video. So like, if, yes. I mean, it's like a 2 minute video. So you watch that, it'll tell you the basis that you need to know. And I think we did a decent job making it entertaining. I don't know. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm
it's just like when I draw a page, I look at it and all I can see are the things that I would have done better if it wasn't the night before the launch.
You know, our Kickstarter video isn't us just sitting there staring at the camera telling you should buy our book. So
we've got a continuing narrative from our first Kickstarter video. So if you're still able to go view it, watch it. You can see the journey. But I mean, that's what I do for my day job. I'm a video editor, so we shot a video and I cut it real quick. But it's fun. But yeah, that's another thing that we should have planned ahead on.
Yeah.
Well, we live and we learn. We still have issue 3, 4, 5, and 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The Kickstarter is important, but it's probably the least fun part of this process. Like.
And it always will be,
but you know, the Kickstarter is—it's the thing that's most like work.
Yeah, I mean, it's worse than I would imagine pitching to publishers. You know, I mean,
you got to sell yourself, and it was really hard the first time because I'm not the kind of guy that is really comfortable being like, "Hey, I'm awesome. Look at my great stuff." And that's pretty much what you have to do constantly. You have to be like, hey, like I felt bad, like posting on Twitter more than once a day.
Right.
And it's like, wow, I feel like a real dick here telling everyone how they should go read this. But it's like, yeah, that's what you have to do.
Man. Yeah. No, that's the reality. I mean, I can relate to that feeling too. In the beginning, the first year of podcasting, I was like, they'll just find it, right? I don't need to tell them. Cause I mean, it was like, there's other stuff more important going on the internet. They don't need my tweet. But no, I mean, that was the whole thing. I wasn't a person to like, look at me. But God damn it, you have to do that. I'm glad you guys came on this show because I'm going to make sure people look at you. That's for damn sure. You guys got a
way part of Kickstarter,
right?
Coming on and talking to other people and geeking out about comics and just having a good time. Like, this is the cool part.
Right on, man. Well, I'm glad you guys find this to be the cool part. Sorry. Let's see. You guys have a website too. Just spaceoddities.com. spaceoddiescomic.com.
Yep. Right. And on. We also we have a podcast ourselves.
Yes.
It is Geeksploration, the podcast. We pick a geeky topic and talk about it for an hour or two every other week, and then on the off weeks we just have a little casual chat about current geek news or what we're feeling about things. So we live the geek lifestyle.
Yeah, we've done episodes on both Indiana Jones and Hitchhiker's Guide.
No way. I dig it, guys. I've totally heard of you. I've totally heard it. I mean, there's...
Come on. Yeah, we're around Twitter. We're there.
We get around Twitter. It's crazy how hard us podcasters have to work on Twitter, man.
It's a good community, though.
Yeah, it is. You guys are out there kicking ass. I look forward to everything you're doing. When does the Kickstarter end? What's the, you said the 8th of December. 8th of December, right on. You said 34 days.
Yeah, it's got 1 month left, 30 days left.
Right on. Well, I wish the best for you, but I don't think you need my well wishings. I think all the success is just on its way to you regardless. Like I said, this is cool. I dig it. I really do.
I appreciate the kind words and the support for having us on.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
I would super appreciate it.
For sure, gentlemen. And I'll let you get back to your to your lives. Happy birthday. I'm doing this on your birthday, man. I could think of better things to do for sure, but here you are. you guys stay safe, man. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Don't change your mind after 15 years and decide not to. You fucking better not. Jerk for life.
Not until we start failing. Then I'll have a crisis of confidence.
Then we're good. Spiral. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about that. All right, guys. We'll be in touch. You guys stay safe. Cheers.
Sounds good.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Hello, I'm Anthony.
And I'm Dr. Issues.
And we're hosts of Capes on the Couch, the podcast where comics get counseling.
Superheroes don't always get to go home happy. That's where we come in.
We offer psychiatric and mental health analysis of comic book characters.
So check us out at capesonthecouch.live and across all social media platforms at Capes on the Couch.
Well, there you have it, folks. Episode 370 in the books. A couple more creators. Consider him cornered. John Williams and Ben Robinson. How about that Space Oddities? And I'm telling you, people, when I say there was a lot of no's before I got to this one, I really mean that. And if you're somebody that listened, or that's listening now and submitted a book, that doesn't mean it was bad. It was just I have this really, really high standard of what I want my, my Kickstarters to look like. If I'm going to back a book and spend $10 on a comic when I cringe spending $4 on a Marvel book, yeah, I want my Kickstarter books to be real solid. You know, I want to be confident in promoting them. And this is one that, for first-time creators, I'm mighty impressed. You know, I wasn't sure going into it, but, I mean, here they are. I carved out the time to have them on the podcast, so I think it's worth you checking out as well. So head on over to Kickstarter and search Space Oddities. Get all caught up if you didn't read issue number one as well. And I believe it's on Comixology as well. They didn't say that, but I do have confirmation here that it is on Comixology if you missed issue number one. Remember, check out CheersToComics.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things comic book related. And now when you hit the store button, it takes you to ShopCheersToComics.com. And it's just another fine place for you to get your books. And I know it seems kind of contradictory to, you know, have another shop as a sponsor, but I'm telling you, people, it's... the internet and the world of comics is big enough for more than one shop out there. So if Nerds Forever doesn't have it, come to me and come to shopcheerstocomics.com. And if you come here first and I don't have it, then go to nerdsforever.com. That's how we do, people. It's a big family here when done correctly. You know, we do better standing together, I believe. ShopCheersToComics.com and use code podcast when checking out and save yourself some money. Save 10%. You think I would have a code for Nerds Forever and not have an opportunity for you to save money on my own website? Come on now. Come on. So podcast at ShopCheersToComics.com and new inventory being updated constantly as well as live sales. Live sales not done through ShopCheersToComics.com, but that's where all the sloppy seconds end up from the live sales. So if you want first dibs at all of the amazing inventory that circulates through this this retailer location, God, it feels good saying that, then I urge you to join the Facebook group, or at the very least, subscribe to the YouTube page. And through StreamYard, I put out live sales on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday is new comic book day at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. So set your alarms for that. Like I said, if you're subscribed on YouTube, hit the little bell and get notified when that happens. But I do urge you to join the Cheers to Comics Facebook group, or at the very, very least, like the Facebook page, the Cheers to Comics Facebook page. And be updated on all of the live sales happening there, reply auctions, all of that good stuff, and whatever doesn't get sold will end up on the website. So like I said, if you want first dibs, make sure you're subscribed to YouTube and a member of the Cheers to Comics Facebook group. So I'll leave you with that. I will talk to you the next time there's things about comics to talk about. In the meantime, I do command that you stay safe and read responsibly. Cheers, fuckers.
Hi, you're listening to Cheers to Comics Podcast.
Hey everyone, I'm Monty Michael Moore, and this is the Cheers to Comics Podcast with Brian Wayne. This is Drew Zucker. You're listening to the Cheers to Comics podcast.
This is Mark Russell, and you're listening to the Cheers to Comics podcast.
Podcast recommendations, you ask? Brian Wayne here, co-curator of The Apocalypse. And I know that sounds gnarly. That's because it is gnarly, man. The Apocalypse. What is The Apocalypse? The Apocalypse is a culmination of the gnarliest podcast, independent podcast, the internet has to offer. So instead of trying to go to Twitter the next time you need a new podcast to listen to and try to get Twitter famous, podcast recommendations, please. Just think The Apocalypse, man. And it's ironic because The Apocalypse is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Just go to podchaser.com. It's in the top list. The top list in the whole world. So whether you're looking for true crime, sports, role-playing, I don't know, anything. Think of a podcast. It's on the Apocalypse. It's like the apocalypse with a D. And do not forget to follow The Apocalypse on Twitter as well. Once again, that is The Apocalypse. If you're looking for a podcast recommendation, The Apocalypse is sure to have something for you.